My second favorite moment at Karma Choling's 50th anniversary was a talk featuring Jack Nyland, who described the magical circumstances of his arrival at Tale of the Tiger and his heart connection to Trungpa Rinpoche. Key Zero in the mystical tarot depicts a young man with all his possessions hanging from a stick, his gaze fixed on the heavens and his feet leading him off a cliff, into groundlessness. I've never met Jack, but the young man who arrived in rural Vermont 50 years ago reminds me of this iconic innocent, dubbed by tarot masters as the Fool. Jack would eventually become a Western pioneer in visual dharmic arts, and would teach at Naropa University for 15 years. But as he knocked on what would, in the days to come, become the Dharma door, Jack, like the Fool, had no idea what he was walking into. The door opened, and with little preamble, Jack was ushered into a meeting with Rinpoche, whom he had never met before. "I've been waiting for you," Rinpoche said. Over the coming days, Jack had the opportunity to have long talks with Rinpoche as he painted and sanded the Dharma door, according to Rinpoche's instructions. They talked about the I Ching, sacred geometry, art, and the intricate shapes Jack saw when he closed his eyes. Rinpoche knew of everything Jack asked him about. What was equally fascinating for me to witness were the others who showed up on Zoom, old friends and students of Jack's who recalled their connection to Tale of the Tiger with what struck me as vibrant joy. In fact, all of the Zoom chats that I attended were like that, people reuniting, sharing experiences about Karma Choling, the friends they made, the practice they put in, the magic they experienced, and the difficult path of working with their minds. It makes me think about the local Sangha surrounding Karma Choling, and those among them who have stayed close to home since the days of Trungpa Rinpoche. I'm wary of overusing the word profound for fear of cheapening its meaning. But as a resident of Karma Choling for a piddly 3 years, the local Sangha, both in and surrounding Karma Choling, has had a profound effect on my experience of this place. I'm grateful for the continuity they provide, their invisible assistance, their knowledge and love, and their humanity, especially when I get discouraged in my practice or lose sight of the present because I'm wrapped up in the story of me, which is most of the time. And that reminds me of my first favorite thing about Karma Choling's 50th, which thankfully took place out of Zoom's camera angle. I had a meltdown, hardly the most epic meltdown in the history of Karma Choling, but it took me by surprise, and was triggered by a simple look that I interpreted incorrectly and wove into something diabolical. I got a front row seat to how mean and nasty and hurtful I can be when my mind runs amok with delusion. As my beloved teacher used to say, if you're gonna dance with the devil, be sure to pick his pockets for all he's got. And, over the next day and a half, two of my housemates, who did not witness the meltdown, casually checked in with me. They helped me unravel the experience, dig into its illusory nature, hinted about karma and kleshas, and helped me fleece the devil for what I could. I can only imagine Karma Choling's beginnings, and I enjoy hearing the stories about falling through space and into one's life. But I'm a huge fan of the Karma Choling of the present, and especially the support of the Sangha for an introvert like myself. If I live to be 106, perhaps I'll see them at Karma Choling's 100th anniversary, and have stories to share, memories to remember, and hopefully not have a meltdown.